Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm joined by sex and relationship coach Pam Costa. We'll be getting to Pam's amazing story of her sexual awakening, talking about desire, masturbation, and how to get the sex life you've always wanted, because she did it, people. This is a great show. And we'll also be answering your emails. Thanks for listening. You know how I'm always encouraging you to get a little more adventurous in the bedroom? Well, our friends at Sport Sheets, you know, the ones who pioneered easy-to-use bondage gear, have just released the perfect products for your next adventure, the all-new Midnight line. Midnight is a collection of sophisticated, playful, and adventurous accessories like lace cuffs, blindfolds, and one of our favorites, a lace collar and leash. Hey, producer Madison, remember that time I led you around the trade show wearing one? How was that for you?
You know, surprisingly good. It's really comfy. I liked it more than I thought I would.
I know, right? Fun for everyone. Want to turn up the adventure dial a little more? No problem. Midnight has a whole selection of high-quality nipple clamps that not only feel amazing, but are really beautiful, too. Hey, producer Madison, remember that just kidding. Okay, don't underestimate a little nipple play. Trust me. Each item in the Midnight collection is made from the highest quality materials. Everything is nicely weighted and feels amazing to use. These are really the perfect way to bring a little special twist to your sexy playtime. Sport Sheets has been keeping couples connected for more than 20 years, and the Midnight collection is their latest masterpiece. To check out this or any of the other fun Sport Sheet products, click the Sport Sheets banner on my website or visit sportsheets.com. That's sportsheets.com.
Into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
To Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. We've put everything at your fingertips there. You can subscribe to the newsletter, our social media, and most importantly, subscribe to the podcast. We love when you do that. And while you're there, you can shop by store and you can support our amazing sponsors. And of course, check out all the content. We update every single day. I've got an amazing team and Pam's actually here today. She's one of the contributors to our website. She's got an amazing blog. And so check that out. And it's all at sexwithemily.com and at sexwithemily on social media. So you all know how much I love lube. If you've been listening to the show, you know that I think lube is the cornerstone of every... No, it's not the cornerstone of your relationship, but it could be of your sex life. And I want a lube at every nightstand. And so Joe, I love their lubes. And they're like, well, Emily, we were just talking one day. They're like, what is your dream lube? Like, if you could have your own lube, what would it be? Which, you know, is so hard sometimes. Someone's like, what do you want? You're like, oh my God, I can have what I want. And then you're like, your brain freezes. I'm like, oh my God. And I actually have some ideas of like what it would be. But I thought, you know what? I want your help. So, and by the way, we've been talking about this for a few weeks now, and we've had like 900 responses. So I just want to thank everybody who went on and took like this 5-minute survey. That's really, really easy. You go to sexwithemily.com/dreamlube. You take it. And so you take the survey, and we also have some questions about the show. And you guys have had great feedback. I'm actually reading all of them, which is weird for me, but I actually sat and I'm like, love hearing your responses and your feedback. So it's been amazing. And they're going to help Joe create a brand new lube that we all designed together, which is fun. Oh, and also 10 lucky participants will receive a Joe prize package worth $100. I actually think it's more than $100 because they send us these packages all the time that are like, we're so happy. Like you're like, oh my God. And they make this kind of lube and this kind of massage oil. I mean, they have great products. So it's sexwithemily.com/dreamlube or just click on the Dream Lube banner. And I want to talk to Pam. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Emily.
I'm so glad this day has come.
I know, right?
Yes. Pam is amazing. Pam is a sex and relationship coach, and she's the founder of Down to There, which is a blog at downtothere.com. And Pam has an amazing story, and we've been posting her blogs on our site. So thank you for sharing your amazing content with us, which has definitely inspired a lot of people I know. And even myself reading it, I'm like, well, how can she stay on for 8 hours and I can talk to her? Because I can't believe what she's been through in a year, okay? So I first met Pam. It's actually, I love the story because it was our first sexual health expo. And as you all know, we've had like five of them now, I think. So that was in January 2015.
Yeah.
Okay. So Pam came and she's with her husband, who's adorable. And they were so cute. And they came up. I don't mean to like infantilize you. They're a beautiful couple. And they were just adorable because they came up to the table. They were holding hands. We had a booth there. And they were like just talking to my whole team. And they were excited. I think you were just kind of starting out on your journey.
Yeah, we really were. It was pretty early on.
Was that like your first kind of...
I think I had just started blogging publicly. So the journey between us had been going on for maybe a year or two years.
Okay, so it already...
It was like more public at that point.
Well, you made an impact on my staff because they're like, remember, and you used to work at Facebook. So I think they called you the Facebook couple. But you don't both work at Facebook, but you did, right?
Yes.
And they're like, remember the amazing couple, the Facebook girl? Like they just love, they talk to you all the time. I think we gave you the prizes that... Like, give you like...
there were some balls.
Kegel balls.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're like, well, they have to win, of course, because you just... We just love you. So then, so that was that. And we loved you. We always remembered you that way. And then, as you all know, I've been taking my Somatica training. I think, what are we coming up on our last weekend?
We are. Yeah, we're almost done.
I'm kind of sad.
Me too.
I feel like I'm going to miss everyone.
I know, we are.
I don't even know that, well, we'll get into that, how to process it all, because my brain explodes. So Pam's there, and she's one of the assistant coaches there now. And been through it all. The Somatica. It's helped you a lot on your journey, I know. And so that's how we've reconnected. So it's been great. And to get to know you through this way too. And you're still adorable and smart. And now you have just this really powerful story. And it's funny because actually somebody in our class said to me, because there's like 60 people in our class.
There are. It's a big class. Yep.
And I said, because we're like, well, how'd you get here? How'd you get here? And he said, oh, I actually heard Pam speak at a conference. And I can't believe she actually had that, you know, issue of really low libido. And she'd been with her husband for 20 years, right? Mm-hmm. It was 20 years. Yeah. And she realized like how to like, you know, jumpstart her libido, explore sexual. And she did what I want, what needs to have my relationship. And so I came to Somatica because of you. Yeah. So, and I know that you've touched hundreds of thousands of other people's lives as well. So we're going to get into your story, which I can't wait. But first, a little bit of sex in the news.
Oh, fantastic.
Fantastic. Okay. You have the accent too.
Oh, yeah. It happens sometimes,
Chicago,
doesn't it?
Right?
Midwest.
Midwest.
Mm-hmm. It comes out, the long O's and stuff.
The long O's. Yeah. I love it. I just felt very much at home. We can talk with the accent the whole time. Now we could do like new dating app, Date Miserable People, launches in Phoenix. Should I just do it with my accent and the long A's the whole time? Okay, so there is a new dating app. It's called Date Miserable People. You've probably heard the expression, misery loves company, and if that holds true, a new dating app should be very successful. The app Date Miserable People launched right in Phoenix this year, and the guy created the site so people could engage in online dating while keeping it real and honest without feeling intimidated. It's an online platform that allows people to engage in online dating honestly and within the realities of their daily lives. And he said the founder of it, he's been through the trials and tribulations of all the online dating sites and has experienced the intimidation of feeling inadequate because the majority of people post like, you know, that their life is so perfect. So he's like, everyone like is like, my life is perfect. I love like walking on the beach and I love travel and I love hanging out with my friends. But that's not who they really, really are. He's like, they're really miserable. It's probably what he's thinking. So he said, so that's why he called it this, because misery is completely subjective to each individual. A member might be 50 years old, still live in his parents' house. Another member might be having a hard time getting over the passing of a family member. Someone else might not have any friends or family. Some people are just miserable in general, he says. So it's what each person considers it. There's no ranking or measurement on who's miserable. You can't be like, I want someone who's like a 10 on the miserable scale. There's not that. It's just like everyone there is suffering in some way. So it's called datemiserablepeople.com. And I'm just not sure how this is going to play out. Like, I know I'm going to go date someone miserable like me. Like, I don't know how that's going to
You're going to be niche, like when it just like, give me the layers of misery here.
Right.
You know, I'm envisioning like those, you know, those Facebook posts that everyone, you know, it's like, oh, all the shiny things that are happening in people's lives. And then there's that one friend that like posts that really awful, but like real story. It's like, right. it's just an app for them.
Yeah, exactly. Well, maybe that's what they should do. They should partner with Facebook and be like keywords, like people who are miserable or angry and have a lot of those. People don't like their post. They just do the sad face on their post or whatever you do now. Like,
yeah, whoever gets the most sad faces.
Yes, like we just those them people into this use app. This app because I think you don't want to lead. You want to actually lead with like, I'm going to try to make myself happy. You don't want like, if I'm miserable and you're miserable, we'll just become more miserable together.
I'm just wondering like what the profile photos look like in this app.
Right, you're just crying on your bed eating Ben and Jerry's or something.
If it doesn't have a box of Kleenex or ice cream, it's like over. You can't.
Exactly.
You,
can't do you don't look that miserable in that picture because you were skating and you looked really happy. You're skiing.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. That's not my jam. So, but I'm all for dating online. You missed the whole dating online thing.
I know, right? It's like 20 years ago. It's kind of, there was like not, I mean, you're maybe Craigslist then? I don't know. Yeah.
No, you're lucky. So how did you meet your husband?
We met in college in the dorms. I know. That was a long time ago.
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. Okay. So you guys met in the dorms and then you started dating right away?
Yeah, well, he was upstairs from me, and I kind of had my eye on him, and I had not had a tremendous amount of dating experience, so it was kind of, like, forward of me to be, like, hitting on this guy, but I told my friends, I'm like, yeah, I'm interested in him, and they, I think they said, oh, he wouldn't be good for you.
Oh.
And that was it. Like, I was like, well, then, I am on this.
Why'd they think he wouldn't be good for you?
I don't know.
Maybe your friend really wanted to bang him or something.
That, you know, that could have been.
Probably.
Yeah.
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 You know, we don't know back then that our girlfriends,
Yeah.
So you're like, well, if he's not good, then he will be good. And that will make him good. So then you started dating freshman year.
Sophomore year.
Okay, sophomore year.
Sophomore year. Yep. And we dated all through college. And I think we actually broke up, like, our first summer apart. But it didn't last because I think we saw each other every weekend.
Right.
Yeah.
Like we're
broken up. We tried. We were like 5 hours away, but still one of us made it, you know, those 5 hours every weekend.
Okay.
And yeah. It was probably over by then.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. So then you've done this.
Yeah. That was 21 years ago.
God.
I know.
That's amazing.
We just realized we've been together more of our life than we haven't.
Right. Wow. Like truly your life partner. Mm-hmm. But not always been easy since those heyday days of the dorm.
I mean, it was pretty good overall. Like,
right.
We have a good relationship, but sex was always a little charged for us.
That's my question. Like in the dorm, always, like in college?
Well, I mean, you know.
It's hard to remember.
There's
right.
fun. Yeah, exactly. It was 21 years ago.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, you know, you're young and you're exploring things and biology's pretty strong in the beginning. And so, yeah, I mean, I think there was a lot of fun, whether it was like amazing sex. I mean, it was good sex, right?
Right.
But he always wanted more than I did.
Always.
I don't know if I could say like in the first like year of our relationship, but, you know, as the relationship grew and over the decades, he would, you know, sit down and be like, hey, we've got to talk. I want more sex. And I'd kind of be like, I don't know. Like, I'm not like feeling those same urges, but like, I want to like, I want you to be happy. Like, maybe we could try something. We like try all these different things.
And you buy a sex toy. And then you're like, okay, that was fun.
Or go on vacation. Or like, you know.
So you did all the things that I like talk about all the time.
Yeah.
But none of them worked really. They don't stick.
Exactly.
They don't work. It's like everything in life. You got to like stick with it. So, So you tried those things and you guys are good communicators.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that you had good sex at the beginning because a lot of you are like, we have bad sex and we never had good sex. It's like, that's hard to tap into. But you guys obviously have a genuine love, attraction, and connection. But you just, so what was the, and you have a child, right?
We do. We have a 9-year-old.
Mm-hmm. So it's like having that probably.
Well, and that was one of the things that's like, well, when he gets older, it'll get better, you know, or this.
18 years, honey. Yeah, just wait. In 18 years, we're going to bang like rabbits. But just hang on there, buddy.
Right.
So then you, did it really start? So was there like a rock bottom? Like what made you after all these years? Because I love that he communicated with you. But still, even though you talked about it, it wasn't.
Yeah. I mean, I was talking like it's the talk, you know, with air quotes. It's like the difficult talk. And it would come up like every 6 to 12 months. And I think there was a moment where it came up again, and for some reason like that time it felt different. Like I was just kind of like, whoa, this is serious. Like I really need to like pay attention. Like something's going on here.
And this was like how many years ago?
Oh gosh, this was probably about 3 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're like, wow, again, usually you wait 6 months. This was only 3 months or whatever it was. There was like some moment you're like.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I agreed. I was like, okay, I'll go to my OB. I didn't know where to go, honestly. Right. I didn't know what to do. I was like, is there something wrong with me?
Well, first, can I ask, were you taking any medications or on
I
pill?
Wasn't.
Nothing.
No.
Okay. And you're healthy. You're like.
Yeah. We were done having kids. He had had a vasectomy. I was like, great. Like, we're not, there's no hormones going in me. Like, all these like things that we had wondered about had been kind of written off at that point. Right.
And you're like, I just don't want to have sex. Was that it?
I mean,
you just didn't
have
the desire.
Sex. It's just, it was less frequent than him.
How often were you having it at this point?
You know, well, we would have different answers for that.
Right.
But I was like,
always,
oh, yeah,
like any holiday.
We're having it like once every week or so. And like, he was like, no, we're not. So yeah. So there's questionable.
Okay. Just curious.
But, yeah.
So, okay. So then you had this moment. You're like, I got to do something. So you went to your OBGYN.
Yep. I went to her and she said, yeah, your hormones are all normal. You know, she ran the blood test.
Damn.
Just
you're
to
like,
make
God
sure
damn
I
it.
Know.
I wasn't going to be wrong
just
for the
biology.
One time.
It'd right. be so much easier. And she's like, yeah, well, you could like take testosterone. And she's like, but that has side effects you might not want.
Your clitoris could become like
yes,
the size
your
of your
clitoris
thumb.
Can get big. And I was like, huh, like, could that be good? No.
Right.
No, I don't
for
want
like
that.
For like a minute.
Yeah. And so, and she started telling me her story. And she basically said, like, this is so common. So many of my patients have this issue. And she told me her story, and it was really similar. And she said, you know, I had good experience going to this therapist. Here's my therapist's number.
Wow.
She basically said, like, the medical community doesn't have a lot for
they
you,
don't.
But here's my therapist number. And I called her, and she was all booked. And then I called the 6 referrals she gave me, and they were all booked. No one was accepting clients.
Were these sex
busy.
Therapists?
Yes.
Oh, God.
I know, right?
This is why your business is just going to be
I know.
So freaking busy
the
right now.
The market is like 100% of people. I literally in that moment was like, you know, concerned about my health and all. But right. in the back of my business head, I was going, huh.
You're
yeah.
a business person, right? Well, no, well, it's interesting because that just says a lot about, you know, our society because you've probably heard this too, like medical doctors have like they're in school for 10 years and they have like half a day on sex, you know, like they're not as educated, they're
definitely.
Not as trained. And even
yeah.
a lot of couples go to marriage counselors.
Yep.
And I know so many like, well, we were in therapy for years and like, they never talk about their sex
no,
life. I'm like, how do you not?
I'm in school right now to get a therapist license as well. And out of a 3-year program, we have maybe 8 weeks of sexuality.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's going to be like a lot of times, as you know, that's the corner that couples need to work on that.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the problems are due to that. And how does it not come up? So
definitely.
6 therapists and then did one answer finally?
So they were all booked.
Wow.
And luckily, my husband is like this amazing internet researcher, and he found this sex and relationship coach.
Mm.
And I was kind of like, a coach? What is a coach?
Right.
You know, I was just, what is this?
Right.
So
come
we,
on,
yeah,
you can
I
do
know.
It, Pam. Go have sex. Wear this jersey. Look really sexy
cheerleader.
In here. Right.
Yeah. So we started chatting over email, and I really liked her. And I thought, sure, like, what do I have to lose here? Yeah.
Okay. So you went, and can we talk about who that is?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
So
okay,
it's
good.
The creator of Somatica.
Okay, so it's
yeah.
Celeste or Danielle?
Danielle.
Oh, you went
yeah.
to Danielle.
Yeah.
In my brain, I always thought you were Celeste.
No, so I was with Danielle. She was like 4 blocks from our house.
Shut
it was
up.
like it was meant to be.
Oh my God. I
yeah.
love this. Okay. So back up. If you, let's say this is the first time you listen to this show. I never know. So I've been taking this Somatica training, and Celeste and Danielle are the creators of it, founders, mm-hmm. and they're sex coaches who've been in the Bay Area. We actually started like the same year, I think like 2005. And I've loved them. They've always been like great guests on the show, and they've probably been on like 5 times over the years. And then they were on last year. Was last year or this year?
This
earlier
year.
In the year. And they were like, okay, Emily, you keep saying you're gonna do something. I told you in the era, you're gonna do it. And I did it. And I've gone to all these like transformational weekends. So anyway, that's it. And they're both very different. Now I've seen them, like I've spent 5, you know, 20 days with them intensely in,
right.
this, in this workshop. So Danielle, she's intense.
Mm-hmm.
Love her. Okay. So you went to see, you talked on the phone.
We did. I would talk to her over email.
Email.
And then said, okay, like let's go in. Let's try this out.
So you went in together.
We did.
With your husband.
Yeah.
Okay.
We went in, as a couple, we sat on the couch. I think I used like half a box of Kleenex in that first session, just being like, there's something wrong with me. And like, I don't know what to do. And like, I love this guy, but like, it's not working. And you know, really kind of quite emotional.
Right.
And she did this amazing thing where she didn't even try to like fix the problem.
Right.
She just listened. And then she talked about all the cultural messages that we get every day that I know you're so aware of because you talk about these
right.
all the time. But like, I really, it had not raised into my consciousness that the world has told women that sex isn't for them. and that they should keep it in their pants until they, you know, get married, and then magically it should all work and function. And you know, I as she was saying those things, I'm like, whoa, that's a lot of whatever this is. I just have never thought about it in different terms.
Right, like you thought you were broken in some way, or you were like, or there's something wrong with you.
Like I'm having sex. Yeah, it feels good. But it's like, it's for my husband, you know?
Well,
like,
it's not for you even, not even your pleasure.
Yeah,
right.
Not that I was consciously thinking those things, but it was very deeply seated in my unconscious, for sure.
Right. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
And then she was like, so that's fine if, you know, if sex isn't for you and you don't, that's fine. She's like, there's nothing wrong with you. You're okay. Completely normal. And I just kind of like this huge like weight. I'm even saying it now, like the weight lifted off my shoulders. And I was like, oh, like I could breathe.
Wow.
It was like really powerful. Yeah, just
to give you permission to be like, it's okay to be you. And like, this is what happened. So then what? Because I know there isn't a lot of talking. Right. And then that was the first session.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And so I think even in that first session, we may have done, so they
breathing.
Yeah. They did this breathing.
I'm like, when did you breathe?
I know. It's all about breathing. I think it might've been that first session. Cause when I've kind of felt that like weight off my shoulder, then it was kind of like, you know, when you're told that you don't have to do something that you're like, oh, I don't want to do that. And someone's like, okay, you don't have to do that. And you're like, oh, well maybe I want that. So I think I was kind of like, oh, well maybe. She's like, okay,
don't say I don't want it ever. Like, exactly. I know it's okay, but like, I want to want it. Right.
Exactly.
Don't you tell me.
Mm-hmm. So then she's like, okay, well, we're gonna do this breath work. We're gonna like breathe, you know, it's like three parts. So you breathe in your chest and you breathe in your belly and then you breathe down to your, can I say that word?
Yeah, you can say whatever you want.
Okay.
You can swear.
She's like, pussy? Breathe down to your pussy.
Right, they use pussy in class, they always talk about your pussy and your cock. And
yes.
I don't often say that on the show. Like I don't have not a hard time. It's funny, like I have a sex with Ellie, but yes, we do say whatever we want on the show, but personally.
I had a super hard, like when like, she said that.
Breathe down your pussy in the first lesson. I know. I was like, whoa.
I know. I'm like, my face must have just been like, what? What did you just say? Like, how? I don't even understand what you're talking about.
Is my pussy supposed to breathe?
I know.
Like, does it open up and breathe? Like, what?
Seriously. Okay. And nothing really happened. Like, I did what she told me to do. She like, you know, close your eyes and she'll guide you through it. And like, it's all really nice, you know? But it was basically like I could feel like breath in my chest. Like obviously my lungs are moving in and out, and then like maybe my abdomen a little bit, like, okay, like there's a gut there. Like, but like down there, I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. But it was funny because after that experience, I had a heightened awareness of that part of my body.
Right.
You know, there's that part of our body is kind of like turned off in a lot of our life.
Right. We just shut it down.
Yeah, and I think I left that session with this thought that, hey, that's a pretty awesome part of me. Maybe I like that part of me. Maybe that part that can experience pleasure is actually just for me, like super selfishly, right?
Right.
And so, yeah, so the first, like, I don't know, maybe even like a year of my journey was a lot of like just internal connection with my sexuality.
Okay.
And it benefited my husband because like then I was like more horny and like more interested in trying things, but it was honestly like a really internal kind of experience.
Okay. So there was a lot of like breathing. Mm-hmm. So like you're saying, like I love, because your blog Down to There, would you guys have to check out her blog, downtothere.com. And all your social media is at Down to There, right?
It is. Everything's Down to There. Yep.
And anyway, so that's why you call it Down to There. It's like breathe down to there.
Well, you know, like, this is the funny thing about that. So my mom helped me with that name because I was like, oh, I want to start this. You know, I've been blogging and I want to put it out publicly, but I don't know what to name it. And I'm talking this over with my mom. Right. God bless her that she's willing to listen to these conversations. And she's like, well, I mean, didn't this all start with that one exercise? So I'm like looking up online. I'm like, no one has this name. This is amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a really good name.
Yeah,
it's good. Okay, so then you started breathing, and then your internal thing, was it more through, so did you go on the whole journey of like, because I know somatica, kind of, like I feel like it's so hard to explain, right?
It's a journey.
It's a journey. Like it has totally been a journey. Like the first time I came back, I was like boundaries, and then I was talking more about, I'm trying to think, remember what else I talked about, just all the things you go through, but there's so many facets to it. But I was wondering if when you say your internal thing was a lot of it about like your, what you fantasize about, like your erotic.
Definitely. I mean,
it has struggling
so,
with that.
So many things. It's like, at first it was a very sensation-based thing for me. It was like, okay, what do I like? And just in the world, I'm like sitting here like rubbing my fingertips together, right? It's like, what in the world do I like? What is, what gives me lots of sensation? I mean, it could be as simple as like drinking something or like a hot shower, or like that really fuzzy blanket or just like all these things that I'm like, wow, I really like that. And so it was that type of thing. And then it did kind of morph into fantasy, which I didn't have any fantasies.
Right. Okay. So let's talk about that. Okay. Yeah. So that's a big part of it. We've talked about this on the show about your, like, whether you got your core erotic theme or your erotic movie, but that's a big part of it. Is it like fantasy's okay? We all have fantasies. And if we don't, go out and find your fantasies. Right. It's a good journey because it helps you, you know, get in the mood for sex, have to get in touch with what you really want.
Fantasy's amazing.
So,
so
tell me about your journey. So you had, you're like, what? I have no,
Yeah. So we were sitting there on the couch and she was asking like, you know, what do you kind of, what helps turn you on or helps kind of, you know, turn you on more? And, you know, and my husband was talking about like fantasies and I was like, oh, it's sensation. Like I want sensation. I want to feel something. I want to feel like, I want to feel my pussy and I want to feel it getting tense and like all these things. And so I like have to close my eyes and think about that. And we both kind of looked at each other like we're from different planets. Like I was like, I don't understand what you're talking about. He's like, I don't understand what you're talking about. So she was like, you don't have fantasies? I said, no, I don't. Like that doesn't, it's not a thing for me.
Because you masturbate, right? Or had you?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But it was all sensation. It was like, close my eyes, go inward, follow this sensation, keep building it.
Right.
And I realized what was happening. And as again, it's those societal messages, like you shouldn't fantasize about someone other than your partner. And what I realized is my fantasies in general, as I learned to develop them, were I would be in the real world and a guy would, you know, cross my path and I would have this thought like, oh, he's cute. And I would go, shut it down.
Right.
You know? And so gone, like no fantasy. That was like a, you know, 1 second thing.
Right.
So after that conversation with Danielle, I started like approaching the world differently. And I was like, oh, there's a guy. Huh. Like what would happen? It's so great because it's just happening in your mind.
Right.
Like no one around you knows what's going on. And so, yeah, so I started really getting this repertoire of fantasies and it actually helped me around that core erotic theme because I was like, okay, what was it that struck me about that situation or about that particular scene that made it so hot for me, you know? And then when I played it out with my head, like what did I have happen? Like, oh, that's interesting. How could I bring that into my sex life?
Can you give me an example?
Yeah. So, okay. So this one's fun. So we were on like a river rafting trip for work. Again, no one knows, thank God, what's going on in my head on this like river rafting trip at work, right? But we were going down the river and this guide had been doing this for, I don't know, 12 years or something, very experienced, kind of rugged looking guy with, you know, the plaid lumberjackish shirt and like fine, good looking, but not like incredible. And he gets us in this, oh, what's it called? Like an eddy or something where the water's like swirling around and you can, so we like, we're going down this, these rapids and our boat gets stuck. Our raft gets stuck.
Okay.
And it is like literally filling up with water. Like I am terrified. And he's like yelling at us like, you know, but bail, bail. And we're like all doing this thing and we're freaking out. And I turn around and look at him. And he has this like shit ass grin on his face. He's just like, and he's just smiling. And I look at him. I'm like, what's going on? He's like, I've been trying all season to make this happen. And he was like, and it finally happened. You're fine. It'll bail itself. You'll be fine. And I just was like looking around at the chaos around me. And I was just like, there was something about that like confidence, that playfulness.
Yeah.
That was total. And so of course the fantasy was that we got out of this thing and we went off and like people were, you know, having their lunch or something on the side of the pit, but we were back in the woods.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Got it. He's looking rugged. I got it. So that was the first time you were like, oh, I'm going to take this to the next place. And then your husband's cool with, that.
I hope so.
Because a lot of people think about it like, okay, well, yeah.
I mean, it helps for me. It helps keep sex and desire and eroticism more top of mind for me. You know, if I have fantasy, if I have a toy that I'm excited to try, if I have whatever that we've been talking about, a flirty email or something, you know, all of that stuff makes, I think Celeste and Danielle call it like keeping the pilot light on.
Right.
You know, because otherwise it's like, do you want to have sex? Oh, shit. Like, I got to get the matches out. I got to start the thing, you know.
Exactly. So you've learned to keep your pilot light through all these different exercises that kind of are somatica and probably whatever else you've because so you've done a lot of things, so this is what I find so interesting. So I've got a question for you. I know that you've tried, you've done a lot of exploring. And when we come back, I want you to tell me about some of those intimate experiences. We're going to give a big shout out to our sponsors. So thank you everyone for supporting them and for listening to the show. We are back. Let's talk about the orgasm gap. You don't know what the orgasm gap is? Okay, so a little refresher. Men take anywhere between 6 to 8 minutes to orgasm during intercourse. Women, between 20 and 40 minutes. You see the issue here? There's like a gap. Even if you don't have an issue with premature ejaculation, the fact remains women take longer to achieve orgasm than men do. A lot longer. But you can take action. You can. For starters, more foreplay. Foreplay is not just a suggestion, it's actually mandatory. And to help you narrow the orgasm gap during intercourse even more, try Promescent. See, Promescent is a clinically proven, FDA-approved product that can significantly delay ejaculation. So, why is that a good thing? Because if you're able to last longer, you'll have less anxiety about performing. You can focus on being in the moment with your partner, enjoying sex instead of stressing about it. And your partner gets a benefit of a longer, more intense experience. Doesn't that sound much better? Does that sound more fun? No more gaps? A lot more sex, a lot more orgasms. God, this sounds good. Promescent is a topical spray that gets applied to the penis to improve a man's stamina. Unlike common delay sprays that make you numb, Promescent is quickly absorbed, allowing you to enjoy the sensations of sex. When used properly, it won't transfer to your partner, which, trust me, nobody likes. What other product can help you last longer, have better sex, reduce performance anxiety, and improve your relationship? Exactly, none. And it's easier to buy Promescent than ever before because now it's available at your local Rite Aid and Target too. That's right, you can run out, get some today. Of course, you can also click on the Promescent banner on my site or visit promescent.com today. Okay, I'm back with Pam Costell. This is fun.
I know. Having a great time.
Okay, so this is what I can't wait to get into. So one of your blogs, I pasted it here. You wrote, ever since my husband and I started seeing a sex coach, I've been researching everything I can related to sex. And by researching, I mean attending class where I masturbated with a group of women, a workshop where my husband learned to tie me up, and a dinner where the waiters and waitresses seduced their patrons. One must not rest on our laurels, though, so I recently continued my research by dragging my husband to a class titled Polishing the Penis.
I know.
So I love this. I love your experiences.
It's such a good list, right?
Oh my God, you've done so. So through this therapy, mm-hmm. you've done all these things. Which one of these like stands out to you as being like, I mean, I guess probably each time you come out of it, you're like that.
If you would have told me if I would have done any of these things like a year ago, I would have just been like, you are insane. Or well, maybe 2 years ago.
Right.
Yeah,
but
I just wouldn't believe it.
This is a lot you've done and they've all sort of fed into this to keep it top of mind.
Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
To keep sex, your pilot light is mm-hmm. way on.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
I mean, you masturbated with a group of women in front of a group of women.
I did.
So tell me about that.
Yeah. So Betty Dodson, she is this like 86-year-old firecracker. If you ever thought you were like, oh, I'm like worried about growing older. Like, what's it going to be like? Like, she is an excellent role model. She's incredible. So she's been doing these circles since like the 70s where she gets women together and she basically spends 2 days with them. The first day is genital show and tell, which is exactly what it sounds like.
Okay. You get up in front of them and you're like, hi, this is my vulva.
Pretty For much. Real? Like, okay. Like you sit on the floor and like, you know, like the little Pixar lamp and then like a mirror so you can see too. Like you're all, and everyone's like, you know, like a foot away from you, like crowded around in a semicircle looking too. And she's just talking about, you know, the design and the hairstyle and how beautiful. She has like the nicest things to say about everybody's vulvas. It is fantastic. Like,
wow, you really learned to, like, I didn't know mine had that little crease and freckle or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you name them. It's kind of like an empowerment kind of, you know, this thing that you don't see, right? Because you can't see it, you know, with guys, it's like the junk's all right there.
Right.
Everyone sees it.
But women,
you
got to go
like.
In. You got to look.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's day one.
Okay,
and then,
that's an intense day.
It's pretty intense, but it's really crazy empowering. And then on day two, she has magic wand vibrators, and she does a little show and tell on that. And then there's basically, I think she calls it erotic recess, where you're just kind of laying around in a semicircle. You're not facing each other. You're all, you know, all laying on your backs and kind of.
Okay.
You're just.
Masturbating?
Exploring, yeah.
Using
masturbating.
The magic wand?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The same one, or like you cleaning it? Does everyone
it's
get
a
one?
Little condom over it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're like having, so is everyone like having orgasms together? And
yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
Which is kind of crazy.
And what was your takeaway from that?
Well, so I really hadn't thought about the fact that I had not really taken ownership over my vulva.
You could say,
pussy. I like pussy.
Yeah. Now you like it. Now I like it too. Now I'm okay with it.
It's true.
Not that it wasn't okay, but you know what I mean? It's just not,
it's not sexual, right? It's not like my vulva, and which is a great, perfectly accurate word. But yeah, so this concept that, I mean, it was for like the doctor and for my husband and for these other people, because I hadn't looked at it. I hadn't touched it in that way and really taken ownership over it. And so that was actually super empowering. I had a masturbatory life that looked one way. Like, I learned how to masturbate when I was like 6 years old in my girlfriend's basement, and I masturbated that way for
every single day for whatever.
Exactly. Same way. Right. For decades. And then, you know, I had never used a vibrator before.
Really?
No. No,
and then
I had not.
Like,
I take that back. I had used like the insertable things, and I was like, this isn't doing it for me. Like, what's going on with that? And then, of course, magic wand is external, and that, of course, is where all the magic is. And I was like, oh, like, that's why I masturbate the way I masturbate, because it's like this.
How would you, so, you were masturbating, you said, on your stomach,
yeah,
right?
I laid on my stomach and with my hands.
I know a lot about you.
Exactly, because it's about my sex life. It's so great. So, yeah, I get a lot of pressure that way, and the magic wand is great for that. So then I was exploring all the ways I could get pressure. It was like, I was doing the hot tub jets and like different toys.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
So yeah, I took that away. I own my vulva, and then I did a lot of playing with my vulva.
Okay. I mean, you've done the fantasy, the vulva. I mean, so now are you feeling that you do want sex more often? It's like,
yeah.
Is it really,
I mean,
like, you're this perfect every day you want to.
Yeah. I mean, I would say like my natural state, because I'll like really get into the flow with work or with just doing things and with friends and family and everything. And so my natural state is to not think about sex organically.
Right. Like, okay. I think a lot of us can relate
to
that.
And I think that's true. And like, that could very much be my default way of operating in the world. But I actually like this other version of myself. Like, I really like it when the pilot lights
on.
I feel more feminine. I feel more creative. I feel more alive. It's like all these good things come with it. So it's like worth it to me now to spend time like reading some erotica, watching some porn, you know, going to this class, doing whatever the like huge long list of things is you can do to keep it top of mind.
Is there anything like a daily ritual that you do every day for sure or weekly?
No, I'm not. I'm much more spontaneous. I really, and that's part of what's fallen out of this journey is like going wherever my energy is.
Uh-huh.
And so I'll be like, well, what do I really want right now? Oh, I want chocolate, or I want to call a friend, or I want to go masturbate, or I want to send my husband a flirty text message, you know.
And so being more not being as reactionary and really in the moment being like, what do I want?
Yeah, like not what should I do, but what do I really want? What does my pussy want right now?
Right, what does my pussy want? Right, my pussy wants to be on the Sex with Emily show. And okay, so we have a special guest here, another one.
We do.
We have Paul here, your lovely husband. And I forgot, I mean, I knew you guys were coming together. You told me when I started Semantica, I was like, but I want to talk to Pam. But I realize Paul's awesome. He's been through this journey. Hi, Paul.
I know. And, you know, it's a really common question from readers of my blog, too. They're like,
how is your
what about him? Like, is he going to write a blog? Is he going to tell us the story? I'm like, no, he doesn't really want a blog. But he's super excited to be here, I think.
Paul, I'm so excited you're here.
Big fan of the show.
I know. You're also a fan of the show. Okay, can I talk about the fact that you're the... So a few months ago, I was in a relationship, I realized, and I had never really talked about it ending, and I hadn't talked about it, my emotions around it. And then Paul cornered me. We were at a party for our Somatica thing, and he's like... Yeah, and I thought you didn't. I was like, I didn't even know you really liked it. You're like, well, I don't know. Like, you were in this relationship, then you just ended it. You didn't talk about it at all. You didn't share it. I'm like, God damn it. I couldn't get it out of my head. And so I was like, okay, so my friend's husband, now you're my friend too, but I was like, on the show. So I did tell the whole story about the breakup, which was very cathartic. So thank you for pushing me in that direction.
You're welcome.
So now that's out of the way. Okay, so yeah, everyone wants it. So we have a lot of male listeners are probably going, okay, yeah. Or women who also are probably totally going, oh my God, I'm relating. Yeah. What's my husband going to think? Like, how did you, because clearly this Pam sitting here is a very different Pam than 2 years ago.
That's definitely true.
Right. Okay. So tell me about your experience with this.
Well, I was listening to her story.
And you're like, mine's different.
Yeah, it is a little different. I mean, I think back to that first session with Danielle, and I can remember kind of saying to her, okay, Danielle, here's the thing. We have a great marriage. The only problem is we don't have enough sex.
Right.
So,
quite
quickly, like within a couple of weeks, Danielle had kind of convinced Pam that sex was for her and that she could want sex for herself. And like suddenly we were having more sex and I felt like, oh my God, we're cured.
Right.
And, but it didn't really take too long after that to sort of realize that like the sex wasn't exactly what I thought that it was going to be. Like okay. I wasn't even initiating. Like she was initiating and she had never initiated before.
Wow. Okay.
And I thought like, what is the deal with this? And like it eventually sort of got to the point where I sort of realized that like, boy, like I think all these years of like sort of being shut down, it kind of screwed with me.
Right.
Like I was almost a little damaged in terms of confidence and honestly kind of still am working my way through that.
Right. Cause what we don't realize also the male experience of saying no, saying no, saying no, you're going to feel like, okay, like dejected, not as desirable.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cause that's 20 years of, I'm not saying you always said no, Pam. You didn't beat it every day, but I get you get it. So, wow. So then repair, right? It's like we learned, like relationships are so much about repair. So you've had to do some work on yourself around that. Yep. So have you started to initiate? How do you feel like?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could have in 2 weeks just sort of had that whole thing figured out. But I think
it's a lifelong journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But you've had some fun. You guys did the sexy stranger thing.
We did.
I love that.
That's so, actually a good peak sexual experience for me, at least.
I love that story. So I always tell, and people are like, oh, yeah, we'll do that. I always, one of my suggestions, this is what I love, that every single thing, not everything, but she's going to get there. A lot of the tips that I've given you are like suggestions how to spice things up. Pam and Paul actually did them. They do them. I don't know anybody who does a sexy stranger. Like, you went to visit. So the sexy stranger is role-playing in fantasy. And I always say, you know what? Go to another town. Like pretend that you've never met and be like sexy stranger. It's even in my book. I was just looking at my book. And it's like, and I'm like, but who, you know, I have a few friends who've did it, but they kind of half-assed it. You guys full-on went to Vegas. Tell the story.
Yeah, we did. So I'll start and then he can take over because he did a much better job staying in character compared to me.
I know, I love it.
Yeah, so we kind of had this idea that we go to Vegas and we go out to dinner. And then after dinner, so we kind of be our normal selves for dinner, right? Have a good time at dinner. And then we would go to this bar and I would leave the restaurant first and I would go to this bar and I'd sit down and then he would come. And so I'm going to let you tell the story from there.
Well, I kind of created a fake persona, and which really helped. That was, I think, actually kind of key to the whole thing was having
that.
So it happened to be AVN weekend in Vegas.
How about that?
And so I made myself like a movie producer. I didn't really say what kind of movies.
And, he was so mysterious.
Yeah, so I came and I introduced myself as Drake. And,
right.
And you could immediately see this like look of shock on her face, like, oh, like we're doing fake names.
We're really
like,
doing it. I didn't know we were doing fake names.
Yeah, so I would highly recommend the fake persona. It really, I mean, if you're trying to act differently than your normal life, I mean, creating a fake persona goes a long way.
And then you guys were able. I mean, I think we should have sent people to read your blog, unless you want to get knowledge. But I feel like that because we got so much to cover here. But what's the name of that blog post?
It's a stranger roleplay, probably.
Stranger roleplay, maybe.
I think they're pretty boring names. Yeah,
no, they're amazing. I love your blog down to there. But it's just a great, and I love that they're very like, you know, I don't know. I love the way you write. I love the way you explain the details about what happened during their journey. I would just check it. I think it's on our. Is it on our website?
Not yet.
Okay, yeah. But anyway, it's great that you guys, because the conclusion is that you're able to create these different personas. So you can really start to like act sexually different too. It's like having sex with someone else in a way.
Yeah, because you're basically all those like habits and ideas that you have about each other kind of go out the window, and you kind of look at each other with new eyes, which is really what therapy and coaching and all of that is about, for you to not assume that you actually know each other, because there are things you don't, and you don't even know yourself, and things change.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
The
they
sex
really
that
do.
Night was different. It was totally different.
Yeah. It was.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
it was good.
Like amazing
as a fake
sex
persona. Like you can be someone else in bed.
Wow, and you really felt that was
absolutely.
Like, because you were like dominant and dominating her,
yes.
And you're like, I can do this.
Yeah.
And then you were probably turning.
Oh God, it was great. Like in the elevator, I was like, oh my gosh, this is better than I would have thought.
See, I think this is. I love that you guys did this. What's up next then? Next thing you're gonna try.
I don't know. We don't. We used to be so good at like the classes and doing all these things.
Well, you've already done some.
Yeah,
many. I feel
we've
like
got some vacations
to, like,
planned coming up, so that'll be exciting.
Okay, well, you
next
guys
show.
Are inspiration. I love
yeah,
it.
Next
you're
show.
Right, and I love that you keep saying it's a journey. It's not like you're doing all these classes. It takes a while, but I love that you guys are in a totally. It seems like you're in a completely different place.
Yes,
now.
That's true.
And now you have to find new things to fight about, probably. but I just love this story because I just feel like so many couples just don't realize don't think that they can ever get through this. Like, it's impossible. I could never talk to my partner about this. I could never, when you guys were not probably talking about it, you were having the conversation every 6 months, but you weren't like, what can I do?
I think there's a shift from talking about what the problem is and all of the, like, you know, difficult things. And then there was the shift to being like, and to also feel like obligated to like meeting your partner's needs. But there's a shift when we went to Danielle to saying, okay, like, what are your needs? What are my needs? Some people, like, I didn't know what my needs were, and like to really pause and be like, what are they? And express them, and then see like where we have the opportunity to meet each other's needs and where we don't. And then you have to, you know, process disappointment, right, and all this stuff. And it was a really, like, we had been communicating,
right,
but not like that.
Right. Well, no, but that's why I think Somatica is so amazing for couples. Like, I don't know any other tool, which is why I'm also taking the course. Like, I don't know any other tools for couples that I think that is this effective at getting people really to the root of it, and to like, to kind of stoking that fire again and rekindling the romance, whatever you want. We always joke, you're like, how many ways can we say spicing up your relationship? But whatever is bringing back that spark, that's the thing I can never, I'm like, do I have to say that spark? But you guys are like, are doing it.
Where we are today is well beyond where I ever thought we could be when we started coaching.
Right.
And we never would have gotten there on our own.
Right. Sometimes you just can't, because you're having the same conversation over and over again. Was there anything that sticks out for you as like, I don't know, Paul, like from the guy, like, was there anything that was really particularly challenging, or that you, like, advice that you could share what you've learned? Deep moment.
I'm sure there is, but it just keeps coming back to the confidence thing. Like, I can't even tell you how damaged my confidence was, and I really didn't have a sense for it at first. It was so easy to put it on her for so long of like, yeah, my wife doesn't want to have sex. Right. So it's like the best excuse in the world.
Right.
And then when that's taken away from you, suddenly, like, it's almost like this performance anxiety. It's like, okay, now bring it. Like, be this guy that you want to be. And do it right now with very little practice.
Yeah. Wow.
And I like never had any appreciation for that when we were going through it. I'm like, oh, like, crap. Like, I created this over decades, right? And so, like, now, you know, this journey has been so good that, like, I left my job out of tech and, like, went into this sex and relationship coaching career. And, like, it's been so helpful to, like, understand that that is a real outcome of this type of dynamic,
right?
Yeah, because it's getting your confidence back.
So, and I always say, like, you know, like, you got to get your confidence. People always ask me, how do I get the confidence? So, what would you say it was? Just sort of communicating and peeling back the layers of what it was, or
part of it. I also think that, like, guys in general get sort of really caught up in, like, not wanting to be a creep. Like, you get so much negative imagery of, like, this creepy guy, and nobody wants to be the creepy guy.
Right.
So it's like, when you bring your sexuality into a certain situation, I know I had gotten like, oh God, like, don't be the creep. Don't be the creep.
Right. We hear that from the guys all the time. How do I not be the creep?
And I kind of, if I've kind of come to any realization there, it's that you just got to kind of go for it. Like, you just got to be okay with that being a possibility, because most of the time it's not.
Well, but it's true. And, like, you'll know if you're going to be, but just the fact that you probably have the thought that you might be a creep, you're probably not a creep.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe you are a creep.
Yeah, that
maybe
could
she
be.
Liked that shit.
That is an entirely real possibility.
But so you mean also, like, through that, you're like, oh shit, now I can have sex whenever I want. And now I have to ask for these things. And you're like, what if she judges me for this fantasy, which you guys, after 20 years, probably hadn't shared until now.
You bet. Right.
And now you're getting them all met.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, Randy, did you guys have sex out there when you were waiting for me?
Were we too loud?
Yeah, no, you can never be too loud. You can never have too much sex here. I love that you're here and share your story. Thank you so much to both of you. Do you want to stay and help answer some emails?
Absolutely.
I would love that. Thank you, Pam. Again, her blog is down to there. And we also, I think every week when we're good at it, we're putting up different posts and stuff. So thank you for sharing that. And I really think if you check it out, or if you need a sex and relationship coach, you can go check out Pam. You can do it on Skype. Wherever
absolutely
you live.
Yep.
And I've just seen this as be some of the most powerful work, and seeing you, I mean, I'm sure I know you're awesome. So I know you could help people. Even just sharing your stories helping people. And also, wait, there's one more thing, your circles. You want them to, can join?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's sex is such a taboo topic, and we don't talk about it with our partners. And we don't talk about it with our friends, and that's a real shame because everyone has similar experiences, and it just feels really nice to hear that. So yeah, I started along with getting coaching, a group of girlfriends and I started meeting and talking about sex, and it was incredible. And after a year of that, like listening to what was happening to them in their relationships, it was equally powerful as to what's happened with us. And so I thought, wow, I like can't keep this to myself. I want other people to get together and talk about sex, women, men, whatever. And so, yeah, so I create content. I put it up on my website for free. There's literally no strings attached other than being brave enough to ask your friends if they want to talk about sex.
I love it. That's good. You're right. We really don't. I mean, I do. Yeah. I mean, can't help it. Like I hear when everyone texts her all day long, but most people
we've got
do
the
not.
Same mission to get people to talk about sex.
So I'm glad, and I never get tired of it. Okay, so now I'd love you both to help me answer some emails,
right,
from the people. Okay, everyone, if you have a question that you want me to answer on the show, that's awesome. You just go to sexwithemily.com and you click on the Ask Emily form, and you just submit it. And now there's a little button there you can check. Yes, I would like to be called, because then we'll set up a call with you, and you can actually ask me that question live. It's going to be so fun. You can also leave me a voicemail. That's 818-ASK-SWE1. And always include your name, your gender, where you live, how you listen. That helps us. We love it. Okay. Ready, guys? Mm-hmm. Hi, Emily. I love your show and I've been listening for the past 6 months. I discovered masturbation and have been able to make myself orgasm from a pretty young age and have masturbated most days since I was 13. I was a late bloomer to having sex, and I had sex for the first time at 21, 2 months ago. My boyfriend and I have sex 3 to 4 times a week, but outside of that, I have not felt the need to masturbate. Is this okay? I know the importance of exploring my body and still try to masturbate a few times a week, but only because I know it's important. I used to enjoy masturbating, and I would really like to get back to that place. If you have any tips, or do you think I should just enjoy the sex and not worry about masturbating? I have a few toys, but predominantly just use my fingers for masturbating, by the way. Thanks, Jen, age 21. Well, I love that she's so self-aware Amazing. About masturbation, and she's like still doing it 3 to 4 times a week and having sex every day, and she's 20. I mean,
I feel like 21-year-olds are much more enlightened than when I was 21.
I
she's
know.
Like, I realize how important masturbation like, is. And the thing, like, I feel like when I was 21, like, masturbation was something you were kind of ashamed
exactly.
of.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think a lot of people, I mean, at this age still think this, except for Jen, because she's been listening for 6 months. Maybe that's why. Jen, you're awesome. I love that you have, I didn't even know, I think I learned at 21 what masturbation was. And then I hadn't done it yet. That was my problem.
Amazing.
Okay. I mean, Jen, I think you're totally, I mean, I feel like you've been doing the exploring and, I mean, if you're only, I mean, the reason why it's great is just to keep connected with your body. So you use your fingers only. You might want to try some new, like Pam was saying, like she tried a toy. She would, you don't have to go to masturbation class, but you could, like Pam did, but you could just try different ways, like different, like.
And I'm thinking like mutual masturbation, right? Like partner like masturbation, like he can do it, you can do it, you can cross. I mean, it's just like, wow, this could be fun.
Yeah. I love That's one of my favorite things, mutual masturbation. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite tips, because then, Jen, you could like look at how he does it and he'll know what turns you on. You'll watch each other. Who knows? You might end up having sex. So that is a great way. And just, you know.
Yeah. You can learn a lot about how to partner or pleasure your partner by watching them masturbate.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's called all the information's there. Oh, he tugs his penis to the left. I'm going to do that next time I give him a blowjob, that kind of thing. Right? You guys need to masturbate? Paul, any advice there for young Jen?
Well, I think the mutual masturbation
it's a good time.
One is an interesting one. I mean, I think people underestimate how erotic that can be
I
to
know.
The other partner.
Because people think, though, I don't want to see my partner see me make that face that I make and the rubbing and it's exactly. dirty and it's wrong. And not only should we never do it, but we definitely can't do it. Right. Mm-hmm. So taking away all that stigma and all the judgments we have around it.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
But also, like, if it's coming and going, your masturbatory life, totally fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jen, yeah, exactly. And you're fine. And there's nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
We're not saying like you have to always be on the schedule. Mm-hmm. Like, and I love that you, I'm happy for two reasons that you didn't answer my question about like a daily ritual, because I'll never have a daily ritual. I've tried my whole life. Like every day I get up and do this. And there's some things, but they're like out of order. Like I'll exercise then get coffee, or then I'll meditate, or maybe I won't. But
yeah, if I try to do that, I just shame myself. I'm like,
I do too.
Why should I be shaming myself?
Like, right. Ugh. No shame.
Yeah.
Don't shame all over yourself. Okay. Hi, Emily. Another email. Ready? My wife and I have hit a rut. We started to try to have children, and it was the first time we started having sex in a few years. We immediately decided to stop trying for children and instead focus on us and recapturing that spark when we were younger. She's worried that we won't be able to get that spark back, and she doesn't even remember the spark. I can remember getting home and tearing our clothes off and not being able to keep our hands off each other, so I know it was there. How do we start working on reigniting our spark together? We both love each other very much, but feel like we have become only best friends. We both love your podcast and are willing to try anything to recapture the magic we had in our younger years. Thank you, Todd, age 31. Aww, you guys are poster couple. I know. Aww. He's kind of like where you guys are.
Yeah.
In a way, we're.
Yes.
Right? So what would you say to Todd? I think that she doesn't even believe there was the magic. She doesn't even remember the magic.
I love how he wants to work so hard. We'll do anything. You know, mm-hmm. It's like we all want to work really hard at this.
Right.
He's like, we'll do it together. Like, just tell me what to do and I'll do it.
I mean, tell him what you, we can, not everybody, you know, you could call Pam. You could go see a therapist. You could do that. I mean, they've been together for, it doesn't matter how long, I guess, they're experiencing this rut. So,
I would encourage them to talk about fantasies.
I always think that's a good starting point too.
Because I think a lot of us think that we have good communication with our partners, but I know that when we started talking about fantasies, like there's stuff that you're holding back that like you're worried about being judged by or whatever. And, you know, I think there's a certain point you can get to where you can be like, you know, that guy on the rafting trip, or, you know, that girl that delivered the pizza today. Like, I was totally thinking like, I could take that girl right here. Like, and like, you don't want, I didn't want to say stuff like that for the longest time. And then like, there's something about sort of getting past that point of communication in a relationship where you suddenly, this door kind of opens and it's like, oh yeah, like we can talk about anything. Like I can say things to you that are uncomfortable to me, mm-hmm. and know that you're going to accept them.
Right.
And of course, like I'll totally empathize with Todd's wife here. And like, if she's not feeling that desire, if she doesn't remember what it was like to feel that desire, like jumping straight to fantasies might be tough for her, you know, like it was great. We got there eventually, like to go there right away would have been really hard. And so if that's kind of the situation, I would say like, there's this really kind of crazy fine line between just feeling alive and like being in touch with your sexuality. And so, you know, if she can't get in touch with like, oh, what are those sexual experiences that really made me alive? What are just things in life that make her alive?
Like how you
said,
you start with like a blanket, a warm blanket or hot tea.
Yeah. Like what's something she really wants to go do? And can they share in that? And can, you know, can you guys feed each other in that way? And my guess is like when you get into that state, you'll kind of be like, oh, wait, like there's something else going on here.
Right. And try try new experiences together. Like the novel, like we would say, like, you know, doing the novelty kind of goes away after a while. Like, so mm-hmm. trying, spending some time together and thinking about these kind of, you can also buy like Celeste Danielle's book too. Like, I think it's a great workbook.
Making Love Real.
Making Love Real. It's a great book. Like couples can read it together. Like I have a friend who, it's like 15 years ago when they got together, and she's always been like all about therapy. They were living in London and she like bought a therapy book, and full on, like every Thursday they did it, and like it really helped.
Amazing.
Like, right. Or, you know, see a coach. But I think, obviously, Todd, you can see that you can recapture the magic because it is possible for everybody. Like, I think this is just very inspirational, your stories. And the thing is, there is no one path. So I think that was a good point, to your point. Like, she won't be like, fantasy? Like, I don't even know that I... But I always say like a bucket list too is great. Like, are there things you've just been wanting to try? And we can say it doesn't have to be sexually. Mm-hmm. It can just be maybe she really needs, because you'll find out, Todd, you'd be like, what are 5 things you want to do this year together? So just starting there, maybe she just wants to have a night where you guys go to dinner and you don't bring your cell phone. You know, like that might be something that would really turn around. We don't know. So that could be a fun way to start.
Yeah, you can play this like I turn myself on when game, where you're taking the pressure off of the other person turning you on and saying really what turns you on. Like, I turn myself on when I take a bubble bath. I turn myself on when I read erotica. Yeah. And you can just go back and forth and you can learn a lot about each other with that game.
Oh, yeah, that's a fun game. Mm-hmm. Do you guys play that game like when you're driving in the car?
I think we used to. I don't know.
You guys are fun. Okay. I think that's all we got time for.
Sounds good.
You guys, this is a really good story. I love you both. You are a very cute couple still. You're still our favorite couple. Yeah. Thank you for listening to the show. Thank you, Pam, for sharing your stories. Mm-hmm. And you can all check it out at downtothere.com. And thank you, Madison, producer Madison. Thank you to Lori and Jamie and Eddie and Ken. Thank you, Ken. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. You know my mission in life is to help you improve your relationships and have the best sex of your life, right? Well, one of the most important things you can do to achieve that is to keep things fresh. Well, our good friends at AdamandEve.com know exactly how to help you with that. AdamandEve.com is where you'll find all my favorite high-end toys, like the Magic Wand and the Wii Vibe Sync, as well as sexy lingerie, games, massage oils, everything you need to keep things exciting. To make the choice even easier, the folks at AdamandEve.com have put together a special deal for Sex with Emily listeners. If you order today and use code Emily, they'll cut the price of almost any single item in half. And not enough? They'll also toss in 3 free DVDs and ship it all for free. And for a limited time only, they will include a free gift, a sexy premium vibrating pleasure ring. Rings are a great way to enhance intercourse. And if you haven't tried one before, it's the perfect time. It can help guys stay harder longer, all while providing that crucial clitoral stimulation that most women require to orgasm during intercourse. To get your free ring, free shipping, free DVDs, and 50% off one item, go to adamandeve.com today and use code Emily at checkout. Back in August, our friends at Vibratech sent me a new toy to try out, which you know is one of the best perks of my job. However, it can also be challenging because, let's be honest, not all toys are created equal. Well, thank God I loved it. You may actually remember Vibratech's Mystic Wand, my favorite compact massage wand. Well, I'm thrilled to tell you that it's now available in a rechargeable version. Yay! The Mystic Wand Rechargeable is truly the perfect evolution of the compact massager. Of course, it has the same soft round head that you love for external stimulation. But that's where the similarities end. The Mystic's curved handle is super comfortable and makes it so easy to get into just the right spot. And Vibratech added 3 vibration patterns and 3 power levels, making the Mystic Wand Rechargeable one of the most versatile compacts around. We've been so excited to tell you about the Mystic Wand Rechargeable, and now that it's finally here, I want you all to check it out. If you go to the video tab on my site, you'll see a clip of me checking it out for the first time. My team also had a chance to try it out for themselves, and it was unanimous. They all loved it. The Vibratech Mystic Wand is available now. You can learn more at Vibratech.com or by clicking on the Mystic Wand banner on my site.